Welcome to Awaken to Grace. I'm Chad Roberts, and today is part two of our sermon on the seven bowl judgments of the tribulation period. You know, if you've been with us on this journey, we have walked our way all the way up to Revelation chapter 16, and we have explained the three sets of judgments on the earth during the three-year tribulation period. We have studied the seal judgments. We have studied the trumpet judgments, and today we come to what the Bible calls the final wrath of God. We come to the bowl judgments. So I hope today you're studying along with us. I hope you're sharing with others. And as always, I hope you are connecting with us. I hope you will download my free mobile app, Awakened to Grace. Visit our websites, awakenedtograce.com, preachingchristchurch.com. Subscribe to our podcast, Awakened to Grace with Chad Roberts, wherever you get your podcast. Let's go to God's Word, and we're going to wrap up part two of the seven bowl judgments from Revelation chapter 16. Now, who is this altar? Again, go back to chapter 6. In the very beginning, what the Bible calls the wrath of the Lamb. When the seal judgments are broken, part of those seal judgments, I believe it's the fifth judgment, a part of that seal judgment, it's going to be the martyrdom of saints on the earth, those tribulation saints. And the Bible shows them sheltered underneath the altar of God. They're protected now. They're sheltered in heaven. And the Bible says the souls of those martyred saints, the souls, they cry out to God, how much longer till you avenge us? And do you remember what God says? Wait a little while longer until the full number of your brothers are complete. And now what we saw back at chapter 6 in the beginning of the judgments have now come to completion here in the ending of the judgments. And now what is the response of the souls of the altar? Your judgments are just. Friends, I cannot stress enough. If in your heart and if in your mind you go, this is not the God I worship, then you worship the wrong God. If in your mind you go, I don't pray to a God like that, then you have a very humanistic view of God. And it's not the God of the Bible. Next, please.
Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory.
Wow. Now, what is this judgment going to be? The sun is going to scorch the earth and the earth dwellers. Now, we know that the ozone layer is thinning. Could it be that God will allow the ozone layer to thin to such a degree that that will cause this judgment? It could be. But again, these are supernatural judgments of God. They are not effects of man or of Satan, but of God Almighty. Could it be? I want you just to think with me for a moment. Could it be that God is preparing the earth right now for what he predicts will happen? Did you see how hot it was in Spain yesterday? Have you seen how hot it is in the Mediterranean? Have you seen how hot it is on the West Coast? Is God preparing the earth for such judgments? Caleb, take us to Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. I want to read this for you. Now, excuse me. While I do not follow climate change, I don't disagree that climate change is not happening. I just don't follow the agenda, and I don't drink the Kool-Aid of what they preach on climate change. Why? Because climate change, as I have told you in my view, is becoming the new religion of the last days.
But do I think man should be irresponsible with the earth? No, I don't think that. We are stewards of the earth. Are there certain facts that are true? Yes, there are. Are there certain effects going on? Yes, I don't deny that. But understand, when you hear climate change, you need to pay attention to the agenda that is behind it. The political agenda that is behind it. And be assured, there very much is a strong agenda behind it. And I believe that God, in part of his judgments of the last days, is going to judge climate change. And I believe this is part of God getting the earth ready. Why is the earth heating up? I believe it's because it's headed toward what we're hearing right here. And follow the progression of the plagues. Sores, painful sores break out on the human body. How desperately are they going to need fresh water? And what happens next? Both the seawater and the fresh water are turned to blood. And then what happens next? The sun scorches the earth and the earth dwellers. Friends, can you imagine how desperately needed water is going to be when the sun scorches the earth like this? And there'll be no water. And here they are with their painful sores. And here they are with 71% of the earth in blood and no fresh drinking water because of blood. And here they are in the stench of the ocean life being killed. And here they are in the pain of the earth being scorched by the sun. And what does the Bible say? They still will not repent. With burning tongues, they will curse the God of heaven. Does that amaze you? It amazes me. And even though I'm a blind man, let me tell you, I pay very close attention to this culture. I pay very close attention to society. I pay so close attention to the media and the news and politics. And let me tell you, can you not see the people of the earth today reacting just like this? And yet, they will not repent. If anything should have brought the earth to repentance, it is COVID-19. And has it done it? Yet men will not repent. Caleb, read Malachi 4, verse 1 for me, please.
Malachi says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch."
See, the thing that you and I have to understand about God, you and I can read this chapter, and we can say, God is such a mean and a cruel God. Friends, Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 was prophesied thousands and thousands of years ago. Here's what you have to understand. God never executes judgment without announcing it first. And yet today, for those of you that you're not born again, God's warning you. God's pleading with you. God is giving you warning after warning after warning. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Next verse, please. Thank you.
Verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds.
Here it is again. They still will not repent. And here they are with their painful sores. Here they are with no fresh water to drink. Here they are with the stench of ocean life being killed. Here they are with the sun scorching their very bodies and their very tongues. And here they are in utter darkness. And yet they will not repent. Stunning. Stunning. What is this darkness? Joel chapter 2, verse 2 prophesies it. Joel chapter 2, verse 2. What is this darkness? God is God. Listen, in chapter 13, when we're introduced to the beast, do you remember what scripture says? Who can war against the beast? Friends, God's answering that question right here, right now. God is warring against the beast. And he plunges Satan's kingdom into utter darkness. And here they are with their sores. Here they are without water. Here they are with scorched bodies and scorched tongues. And now here they are in outer, utter darkness. And yet they won't repent. Next verse.
Verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east.
Go ahead and read the next verse, please.
And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits, performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty.
Now, this is very bizarre. Why are we seeing global plagues, the sores, the waters, the sun, the darkness? Why are we seeing global plagues, and now all of a sudden it shifts to a certain geographic region, the Euphrates River? Has anyone ever done a cruise down the Euphrates? No, I didn't think so. Why does the Bible stress the Euphrates? Next week, I'm going to call next week, we're going to be in chapters 17 and 18. Friends, we're coming to the... The end is in sight. We're coming to the finale here. And next Sunday, we're going to see the fall of Babylon. And we're going to answer the question, is Babylon a literal physical city, or is it a system? Is it a religious, an economic, a political system? We're going to answer that next week, and we're going to see the great fall. We're going to see the mystery and the fall of Babylon, and I'm telling you, it's going to be fascinating. Is Babylon code for Rome? Is it the Vatican? Is it New York? Is it the United States of America? What is Babylon? We're going to answer it with the Word of God next Sunday. Why does it shift to the River Euphrates? I believe because it has to do with the next three chapters. Now, what the scripture is going to teach is that God is going to dry up the River Euphrates. Let me say this quickly because I got to move on. So if you're going to take notes, just note this. The River Euphrates has for thousands of years been a natural boundary to armies. Rome couldn't figure out how to cross it. In so many world empires, the River Euphrates has been a formidable boundary that armies have been unable to cross. The River Euphrates is 1,800 miles long. And why is God going to dry it up? Because the Bible says that the kings of the East are going to march across it. Who are the kings of the East? We believe it's China. And what's going to be the allies of China? Would that be North Korea? Would that be even South Korea? Would that be Vietnam? Would that be Nepal and possibly even Afghanistan? Look what we're seeing right now in our news. You think we're going to have a presence? You think we're going to have any sway there now? Pay attention. Watch what's happening. And these armies are going to march and they're going to cross the River Euphrates. Why? Because God is going to gather all the armies of the earth to Armageddon. This is setting up what God is orchestrating. And so what's going to be the pavement they're going to walk on? The riverbed of the River Euphrates. And God's going to supernaturally dry it up. Why is it a plague? Because it's going to set up the greatest battle of all human history, and we'll be there in 2 weeks. Why? not literally. in our study. Don't tweet out, Pastor Chad says it's happening in 2 weeks. No. We're going to be in chapter 19 in 2 weeks, God willing. And we're watching everything being said. Remember, God always announces judgment before he executes judgment. These three frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the Antichrist or the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, what is this? Again, it takes us back to Egypt. What are these frogs? These are demon spirits who is going to cause, I believe personally, they're coming to Israel. And I believe it's going to be Satan's last stand for anti-Semitism. And I think they're going to stir up all the armies of the world. Because why is the world going to be so on edge? Why are all nations on brink? Why will all nations converge on Israel? Because, friends, there's sores, there's no water, there's darkness, there's sun scorching the earth. These things are happening, and it's going to push the world. It's going to push governments. It's going to push leaders. It's going to push humanity on the very brink of utter chaos. Next scripture, please.
Verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed.
Now, this is very important. And the reason I mention this is because one of my goals throughout this study is I want you to have a greater sensitivity and a greater appreciation for the structure of the book of Revelation. If you just jump into it and begin to read, you're going to scratch your head and it's not going to make sense. But when you understand patterns and when you understand structure of the book, then the picture begins to come together. And so there are certain structures. What do we say the number seven? How important is the number seven? It's laced throughout the entire book. What did we say about the way the trumpet judgments and the seal judgments and the bowl judgments are all laid out? What do we say about the categories of people, the tribulation saints, the living creatures, the angels, the church, Israel, and all the 24 elders and all of these groups of people? When you begin to see the patterns and when you see the structure, then it all comes together. And here's what I don't want you to miss. There is always, this is part of the structure, there's always a break between the sixth judgment and the seventh judgment. Now, they're wide in the previous ones, and this one's very short. Why is it very short? It's only one verse. Why? Because again, it's like labor pains upon a woman. The intensity is greater. Time is short. So what did we see? In chapter 6, the seal judgments, there were only 6 seal judgments in chapter 6. And then it asked the question, who can stand? The answer is chapter 7, the 144,000 sealed Jews, and then the tribulation saints. And then you come to chapter 8, verse 1. Then the seventh seal happens, and then the scroll unrolls into the next trumpet judgments. And then chapters 8 and 9 are 6 of the trumpet judgments. Where's the seventh? There's a parenthesis. It's like you catch your breath. Chapter 7, you catch your breath, and then the seventh seal judgment, and then comes the seven trumpet judgments, and you catch your breath, and then here's chapters 10, 9 and 10, and then 11 unrolls the seventh trumpet judgment. Then there's a great parenthesis, chapters 12, 13, and 14. And now, here we come, chapters 15 and 16, and now the seven bowl judgments. And is there a parenthesis? Yes, this verse. And what is this verse? Behold, I come like a thief in the night. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When Jesus says he comes as a thief in the night, he never says that to his people. He says it to the lost. Why does he not say it to his people? Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, we are not children of the night. We are children of the day. We are not children of the night that this day should overtake us. No, we understand because we're children of the light. Amen? And so here is the last and the great warning. And here comes the seventh and the finale of the judgments of God on the earth. Read it for us, Caleb.
Verse 16, and they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth.
Let's pause right there. Was there not a great earthquake yesterday in Haiti? 7.2 magnitude. Friends, this is going to be a global earthquake. We know earthquakes in regions, certain fault lines, certain areas of the world. This is going to be a global earthquake. But listen, I don't want to miss this. The seventh bowl was poured upon the air. Why the air? I think two possible reasons. I'm running out of time, but can I take a few minutes to explain? Will you give me just a few extra minutes? We took up our offering, didn't we? Yes. Yeah, we did. Oh, I got plenty of time. You can leave if you want to. We're done. Okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Why the air? Why the air? I think there's two possible reasons. Number one, climate change. I think throughout all of Revelation, God's going to judge the religion of climate change. But I think number two, what is Satan called? He's called the God of this world. And what else does the Bible identify him as? What does it call him? The prince of the power of the air. Huh. And the last and the final judgment is poured on the air. And when this happens, friends, the very contour of the earth is going to be forever changed. And watch what happens. Here comes the great earthquake, and Caleb, wrap us up with what happens after the earthquake.
Verse 19, the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine.
So, Paul's right there. Let me just say this. Excuse me. In 2 weeks, we're going to be at the Battle of Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo, and we're going to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's the grand finale of all of human history. And we're going to study it out of the pages of the Bible. But before that happens, God has one more agenda item. And what did the scripture just say? And God remembered Babylon. Is Babylon a city or is it a system? Come back next week. Same time, same channel. All right, next.
And God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found.
Listen, every island, World Atlas tells us there are some 2,000 islands on the earth. And every mountain was flattened. The very contour of the earth is going to change. What a great and incredible judgment of God on the earth. Next.
Verse 21, and great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven.
Listen,
on people.
Can you imagine that? Hailstones, 100 pounds each. If you saw hailstones of 100 pounds each fall on the earth, would you not cry out to God? And yet, what will man do? Here it is.
And they cursed God for the plague of the hail because the plague was so severe.
And yet they cursed God. As you watch the news, as you listen to the media, begin to pay attention and say, should these things happen in our day, in our lifetime, how would they respond? Friends, COVID has shown us how the earth will respond. They will not repent.
Do you use a streaming device at home or at work? Simply say, "Hey Google, play Awaken to Grace with Chad Roberts podcast," and listen to our weekly podcast that is the current sermon that I preach each week at Preaching Christ Church.